Welcome to Trinity.
In the season of Thanksgiving, we're thankful that you've joined us today.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to all of you who are watching this at home. We have made it to the last Sunday of the church year, and so today you notice on your bulletin cover, we are going to be focusing on that last day. We're going to be talking about the end of the world, as we do always at this time of the year, looking forward to the day when we will be raised from the dead, along with all of our brothers and sisters who have gone before us. We will live in the new creation, stand before the throne of the Lamb. What a glorious thing to think about. Also, this is the week of our National Day of Thanksgiving, and so you see in front of me, we have our harvest display, and what a great reminder at this time of the year, all the things that our Heavenly Father has granted to us, all of the daily bread that He gives to us, and then how we can in turn respond to Him and give thanks and praise and to be good stewards of the things that He has granted to us. What a blessing. So our order of service today, as we celebrate the last Sunday of the church year, is Divine Service Setting 1. I invite you to turn to page 151 in your hymnal. And once you have found that, I'd ask you to please stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to the introit printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? Deliver me from all my transgressions. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, so govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your glorious return, we may persevere in both faith and holiness of living. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our Old Testament reading, which is appointed for the last Sunday of the church year, is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51, beginning with verse 4. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn back to the gradual on the inside cover of the bulletin. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Our epistle reading today is from the letter of St. Jude, beginning with verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 763, When Peace Like a River. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading, these words from Isaiah in chapter 51. The book of Isaiah is a really long book, and it's filled with a lot of prophecies, and a lot of the book of Isaiah is filled with warnings against the people of Israel for their bad behavior, their unfaithfulness, their idolatry, warnings about the punishments that are going to come to the people because they're engaged in all of these things. But for a while, between chapters 40 and 55 of Isaiah, it's just like one string of comforting passages, one after the other after the other, reminding them that even though they are going to face some really difficult things, God is not going to abandon them. And so our passage today in chapter 51 falls right into the middle of all of that comfort that Isaiah is bringing to the people. And we look at the world around us, and sometimes we feel like our world is crumbling down too. But that's when we get to look again at these words from verse 6. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. But my salvation will be forever. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in 1989, an American sociologist by the name of Ray Oldenburg coined the term third place to refer to community building. And so I know for a lot of us, we hear that phrase, third place, and you know, we think about the order that you finish in a contest or a race, or you think about maybe like the bronze medal in the Olympics, right? It's third place. But that's not really what Ray Oldenburg is talking about when he says third place. For him, the third place is referring to that place, that location you go to interact with the community, friends, and acquaintances, and meeting new friends, places you go to do all of that. And the way he gets there is, first he talks about our first place. He says our first place is our home. So the place where you begin and end most days, right? The place where you feel the most comfortable, that's your first place in life. Your second place, your second location is that place where you fulfill your major responsibilities and obligations. So for a lot of people, you know, it's their workplace. Maybe it's an office building or something like that. Maybe for those who are in school, it's a classroom. That's their second place. I know for many people around here, that second place would be out in the fields somewhere, something like that. But the third place is different. The third place is different from either the first or the second place. The third place is a place out there in the community, out in society, where you're having interactions with friends and others, and those conversations are usually pretty lighthearted, usually nice and relaxed. And the truth is, for a lot of us, for most of us, we're going to have more than one third place in our lives. It's going to be kind of a combination of things, right? So it might be some of your favorite hangout spots. Maybe it's a community organization that you're a part of or activities that you like to enjoy with other people. Some sort of combination of all of those things becomes your third place. So your third place might include just hanging out and having a good meal at Kretzer's or at the Blue Room, right? Your third place might be, I don't know, something like you join a softball team, you're in a bowling league, you like to get together with friends and play cards. These days, actually, a lot of people's third places end up being online. I know a number of people in my life who it seems like almost all of their social interaction is taking place virtually in some way, shape, or form, right? Especially in these days of COVID-19. But no matter what you might consider to be your third place or what combination of things becomes your third place, for all of us, that third place in our lives is something that we become very much attached to. Because your third place is not your home, but it's kind of like your home away from home. And you love your third place. And so you become attached, emotionally attached to that third place. And that's especially true then, I think, when we're talking about our congregation. right? Because that's where we are right now. We're in our third place. We're in one of our third places for sure. You could argue that this is the most important third place in any of our lives, right? This is supposed to be your first third place. It's your third place that's really in first place, right? Is if that's not too confusing for you. But I'm not going to say too much about this particularly today because it's not really the focus of our text this morning, but considering we are so attached to this third place that God has given to us, we really do have a great opportunity both this week and next week to give thanks to God for this third place in our lives, this place that we call Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton. And by doing so, to contribute what we can to the current debt relief issue that we've got going on in the congregation. And so we've called this and next Sunday our debt reduction Lord of the Harvest Sundays. It's because we are so attached to this third place in our lives. We want to see this ministry thrive, right? We want our children and our grandchildren to continue to benefit from the things that the Holy Spirit has been accomplishing here for 154 years. We love our third place. We are attached to it because by faith, we are attached to Jesus Christ. And this is his body. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But switching gears a little bit, I mentioned before, this is the last Sunday of the church year, and so we have this opportunity. We're reminded today in the readings, just like we are every November in the readings, that all of our places, our first places, our second places, our third places, all of our places are only temporary, because all of our places are located here on earth. And our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us, you heard it in the gospel reading today, there's a day coming when the earth as we know it is going to be recreated, reformed, restored. Everything that we are attached to in this world, yes, even the things that we really, really love and care about, all of these things will be one day taken away from us. And I know that sounds really scary, right? And that's why sometimes when we talk about the last day and the end of the world, we start to almost dread it in a way. But we are reassured in Scripture over and over again that we have absolutely nothing to fear, because everything that we are going to experience in the new creation is going to be so much greater than everything that we have experienced here and now. Everything that we're going to have is going to be even greater than the things we're attached to now, the things that we love now. And when our world no longer has the taint of sin casting a shadow over every single thing, on that day we're finally going to understand why it was actually a good thing that this world and this life do not remain forever, but that there's something greater coming in store for all of us. In this Old Testament reading that we've got here today, we're hearing these words of Isaiah, and Isaiah was called to bring comfort to God's people at a time when it seemed like their whole world was already crumbling apart. You think about the Israelites, okay, in terms of first, second, and third places, right? Their first place, no matter who they were, their first place, their home, would have been that promised land, and for their specific families, whatever portion of that promised land had been given to their forefathers. And their second places, of course, their places of work and responsibility, for a lot of them, it would have been out in the fields too, or wherever their occupations and vocations would take them. But no matter who they were in those days, their third places would have had to include either Mount Zion in Jerusalem, if they were part of the southern kingdom, or Mount Gerizim in Samaria, if they were part of the northern kingdom. And the reason why those two third places were important is because those were the places where people came to worship the Lord. The people were attached to those places because they worshiped God in those places. We know how we feel about where we worship the Lord, right? We know how we feel about Trinity Hoyleton. We know that we are emotionally attached just to this building, right? And I can assure you that the people that Isaiah was writing to and preaching to, would have felt even more strongly about their sanctuaries. And yet Isaiah comes onto the scene at a time when both of those places, both of those sanctuaries were about to be destroyed. Mount Gerizim went first. The Assyrians came in and took over in the north. The temple on Mount Zion in Jerusalem lasted about another 150 years, but then the Babylonians came in and destroyed it too. It was awful. It was terrifying. It was heartbreaking. The people didn't really know what to do. And yet, you see these words of comfort again in verse 6. Isaiah says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it die in like manner. But," and here's the good part, of course, "but my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed." So as that beloved third place, that temple crumbled, and as life as they knew it changed forever, God was promising them right there that there was something even better to come, something that was going to last a whole lot longer than anything that they had had here on earth. He talks about eternal salvation and righteousness. I really like that imagery of the earth wearing out like a garment. I feel like that really speaks to me. I really like that the Bible gives us all these similes and metaphors that we can use to help us understand things that are far beyond our ability to comprehend. And certainly for us in our day, it's helpful because we don't really know what it felt like to be those children of Israel in those days and to have a real serious threat to our actual existence here on earth the way that they did. So I was kind of focusing on this earth wearing out like a garment thing, and I thought, you know, I think a lot of people probably have something like that. You know, you probably have some sort of garment at home that is maybe in the back of your closet or stuffed into a drawer somewhere, something that's old and kind of worn out, but maybe you just haven't gotten rid of it because you're attached to it, right? You love it for some reason. There's a place when I was in college. One of my many third places in those days was a pizza place in Milwaukee by the name of Pizza Shuttle. And my friends and I would go to Pizza Shuttle pretty often. And, you know, it was one of those places, it was open late at night, so we could just decide whenever we wanted to that we would just, you know, on a whim, go to Pizza Shuttle. And it was just, it became one of my favorite places in the entire world. But the thing about it is, it's not even, like, that great of pizza. Like, it's fine. It's okay. It's not bad, but I wasn't, like, writing home about it or anything. It was okay. And it wasn't really even in that great of a location. Like, it wasn't very convenient to get to or park or any of that stuff. But, of course, what made it an amazing third place in my life in those days was the fact that my people were there, right? We got together. We shared conversation, and we laughed a lot, and we had a lot of memories there. And those are things that I really miss about those days, and I knew that that was going to happen, of course, because college isn't forever. So my senior year, I decided I needed some sort of Pizza Shuttle memento. I was about to graduate and come to St. Louis and go to seminary, and so one of my last visits to Pizza Shuttle, I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and buy a Pizza Shuttle t-shirt, which that wasn't very special either. Like, it was just this plain old black t-shirt that the employees wore, and I went and bought it, and I gotta tell you, I wore that shirt so often. It went through like a bajillion cycles of wearing and washing and wearing and washing, and eventually it's like the words were just flaking off of the thing. You couldn't even read what it said anymore, and the collar's getting all frayed, and there's holes in the shirt, and it's just like terrible. I wore that shirt out because I was attached to it, right? I was attached, emotionally attached to it. I wore it long beyond when I should have. It wore out like the earth is going to wear out. It wore out. I finally did stop wearing it a couple of years ago, but I did not get rid of it. I know exactly where it is. I can bring it back anytime if I feel like taking a stroll down memory lane or embarrassing my family in public. I can bring it back. I know where it is. So here's the point. The things that we love, right? The things that we attach ourselves to, the things that we are emotionally attached to, the things that we feel like we cannot live without. This entire world is passing away. And what do we do when things pass away? We mourn. We grieve. It's certainly true when our loved ones pass away, when they breathe their last. But it's also true on a smaller scale, it's true the things that we're attached to in the third places in our lives, we can mourn those too. When our favorite hangout spots close, when our favorite restaurant gets rid of our favorite meal on the menu, we mourn, right? When you hear about community organizations that fold, we mourn. When we hear about congregations that are dwindling in numbers and things aren't the way they used to be, we mourn. And yet, as Christians, when we mourn, we always mourn in hope. And we take to heart these words of Isaiah because we know that the salvation and the righteousness of the Lord will last forever. The salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ won for us with his death upon the cross. He destroyed death once and for all. Our faith in those promises is what carries us through, even when the rest of the world seems like it's crumbling down all around us. When our spiritual first place, our spiritual home, heaven, vanishes like smoke, and our spiritual second place, the place where we are given to do all of our work and we have all our responsibility, this place, earth, when it wears out like a garment, God gives us a third place. God promises us an eternal third place in the new creation, which is filled, will be filled, with things that are so much greater than anything that we are attached to here and now. The new creation will be filled with the city of God and the river of life and the marriage feast of the Lamb and the new Garden of Eden, things that we never have to worry about losing because they will always last. They will never wear out. They will last forever and ever. They will never pass away. And until that great day comes, we wait for it with anticipation and joy. Rather than clinging to a bunch of earthly things, like a Pizza Shuttle t-shirt stuffed in the back of a drawer. Instead, what we do as we wait is we cling to Christ. Because Christ has given us new garments. Garments that are washed clean in his blood. Garments that we will get to wear in that ultimate third place forever and ever. So to God alone be the glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. At this time, we will join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning, we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed, which are printed for you on page 159. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We do have a number of updates to our prayer list today. I'll try to run through these fairly quickly and briefly. Under care facilities, we have included Richard McGee. After a recent hospital stay, Richard has now moved to the Fireside House in Centralia, where he will be for the foreseeable future. Also, we've had a number of people who have been hospitalized. Carolyn Hoogie was hospitalized this week with an infection. She also had some breathing issues. She will most likely be transferred to some sort of a rehab facility, most likely up north near her daughter. We also are including today Carissa Deal. This is a relative of Cassie Schnicker. Carissa was burned in an explosion of her wood stove at her home, and she's been hospitalized. But also, we need to mention, in that explosion, her 11-month-old son, Abel, was unfortunately killed. And so we'll be including the whole family in our prayers. We continue to pray for John Seifert. John is going to be having his procedure tomorrow to place stents in his leg and possibly his heart as well. We will be praying for Lorna Grody. Lorna had gallbladder surgery this week. All went well, but she ended up needing a second procedure that will be taking place tomorrow in St. Louis, so prayers continue for her. Art Meyer was finally able to come home. He continues to recover from his recent stroke, and he is making good progress. Finally, we will be including today the family of Dan Kluver. Dan was former teacher here at Trinity Hoyleton and passed away recently, just within the last day or two, and funeral arrangements will be pending for Dan soon. Let us go to God in prayer. As we wait patiently for the Lord's return, let us pray to our gracious God on behalf of the whole church and for all people according to their needs. Most merciful God and Father, give your holy church throughout the world your grace to serve you with reverence and awe, granting us faith to endure to the end. Open the mouths of the pastors in our circuit, district, and synod, and give them the words to testify to your love in Christ Jesus and the hope that is in them. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, Messiah Lutheran in Carlisle, and their pastor, Scott Shilby. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you know all our anxieties and fears. Grant to those troubled in mind and spirit the strength to cast every care upon you. According to your will, give them quietness of heart and a firm trust in the mercy you have shown us in Christ Jesus. Place the lonely in the family of your holy church, O Lord, that they may find peace in Christ and fulfillment in loving service to their neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, make the leaders of our nation to walk in the way of justice and truth, that they may use the power vested in them to protect the weak and innocent. We thank you for our nation's military and ask you to bless and guide all servicemen and women, especially those who are connected to our congregation, Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we look to you for our daily bread. In the face of natural disasters, wars, famines, and troubles of all kinds, fill our hearts with repentance and humility, that in every circumstance we may trust in you. We ask, if it be your will, that you continue to provide favorable weather and safety for those who work in the fields. Help us to return thanks to you in all circumstances, but especially on the upcoming National Day of Thanksgiving, that we would always remember the Lord of the harvest, from whom all blessings come, and that we would be generous in our stewardship of those gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we ask you to bless those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Mia and Jared. We also praise you for the gifts of marriage and family. We ask you to show your grace to all married couples, especially those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Curtis and Danielle Grathwall, and Adam and Christina Unverfurt. Bless them mightily in the days and years to come. Lord, in your mercy, look with favor on all who are in need, fill the hungry with good things, give the poor and unemployed gainful employment, heal the sick, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you those who have been hospitalized, including Carolyn, Carissa, and Jacob. We lift John before your throne, that all would go well with his upcoming surgery tomorrow. We also lift Lorna before your throne. We thank you for her successful surgery the other day, and we pray that she would have a successful procedure tomorrow, that all would go well with her. We also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Mike, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Beulah, Steve, Daryl, Wayne, Art, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Nina, Linda, Marvin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, and all those who are fighting cancer. We ask you, Lord, to be with all those who serve in the healthcare industry, that you would bless them as they serve their patients and keep them safe. Allow them to be your hands and feet. We also ask you, Lord, to comfort those who mourn, especially the family of Carissa Deal's son, Abel, whose earthly life was cut off at such an early age. Remind them of your love and concern for all of your children, and help the family turn to you in the difficult days ahead. Be also with the family and friends of Dan Kluver, and comfort them with the promises of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will invite our ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. If you brought a Lord of the Harvest envelope with you, you may place it in the offering plate with the other tithes and offerings at this time. Please stand. We now sing together the offertory on the bottom of page 159. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 512, At the Name of Jesus. Please stand. You may be seated. We have a number of announcements for you today. We're getting into another really busy time of the church year. As you know, Christmas is right around the corner. But first, we have Thanksgiving this week, so I want to make you all aware we are going to be having our Thanksgiving Eve worship service this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Right here in the sanctuary. We hope that you can join us for that worship service. We will not be having a service on Thanksgiving Day, so we'll just be having Thanksgiving Eve. We hope you can join us for that. There's a couple things I wanted to highlight in your bulletin today, like there's a blurb in there about last week's WorSmart. Thank you for those of you who came out to support that. It's looking like total profits from that is going to be about $5,000. What a blessing. The PTL will be able to use that money to help purchase things in our school that are needed there, and so we really greatly appreciate your support. There's going to be chime practice tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, and that is right over here in the North Overflow Room. Also, with the Thanksgiving break coming up, there will not be school Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday this week, but just so you all are aware, the school church and school office will be open Wednesday. We'll be here Wednesday. So if you need something from us on Wednesday, we'll be here for that. But then our office will be closed Thursday and Friday this week. Throughout this upcoming season, there will not be a women's midweek Bible study on Wednesdays with the Thanksgiving service this week and then the Advent services that are coming up. The ladies will be resuming that Bible study after the new year. And speaking of Advent midweek worship, there's a blurb about that as well. We're going to be having our midweek services starting on December 1st. And so for our Advent sermon series, it's just a two-week series. We're calling it Comfort and Joy. We're going to be looking at two hymns and how they bring us comfort and joy. The first week will be Comfort, Comfort, Ye My People. The second week will be Joy to the World. And then we hope you can join us on the third Wednesday, December 15th, that will be our Christmas concert. It's coming back this year. We're really excited for that. All of our special music groups are preparing for that right now. Today, there is a benefit drive-through chicken dinner at St. John's New Minden. That will be served until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The cost is $12, and the proceeds from that dinner are going to benefit Deborah Longy. That is a teacher at TSJ in Nashville. She is awaiting a heart and liver, both heart and liver transplants. And so she's in need of funds while they move up to Minnesota and wait for those transplants to be available. Also, wanted to make sure that you had a chance to look at this week's, in the Board of Stewardship, Month of Thankfulness. This week we are highlighting our support of Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School. So there's a write-up about that in the bulletin, and I believe there's also something on the tree out there if you didn't see that on your way in today. And the last thing that I was going to mention is that Trinity in Nashville has developed Christmas signs, yard signs, that their vision is that they would like to see all of the Lutherans in Washington County putting these signs up in front of their houses and their yards. So the sign is, it's a double-sided sign. This is how big it's going to be. They are $15. They feature the Christ child in the manger. And the verse is from Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And so their vision is that all the Lutherans would have these up in front of their houses. And so these are going to be available to you. If you'd like to purchase one of these signs, please let us know by December 1st. So you've got about a week and a half to let us know. And then they're going to have these made up, and they will be delivered to you. I think we'll have them available here in church on Sunday, December 5th. So you should have them for almost the whole month of December then. So let us know if you'd like to purchase one of those signs. And the very, very last thing is just to say, we will be doing one more week of our Lord of the Harvest debt reduction. So if you didn't have a chance to bring that debt reduction offering in with you today, we're going to have that next Sunday as well. So there'll be one more opportunity for that. Are there any other announcements that I forgot today? All right. Well, God's blessings to all of you. If I don't see you Wednesday, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us for worship today.
Please join us again next week.